Hey, for our guests that are with us today, my name is Jeff, one of the pastors here, and we are in the book of Acts. We're studying through the book of Acts. Today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. And for those of you who are visiting for the first time today, I really need to help you understand what you just saw in this video by going back to last week for just a second. Last week, we talked about what we called the fine art of civil disobedience. If you don't know what that means, would you go back and check that sermon out on our website? Because here's what civil disobedience is referring to. Sometimes you have to stand up and to make a stand for your faith. And this gets hard. Let's just be honest, y'all. When it's in the boardroom or when it's in the courtroom and you know by standing up and by speaking out, it's going to cost you greatly. That's what the Bible was describing for us last week. Today we're going to take that whole concept. And we're going to move it a step, a huge step forward. Because today what we're going to talk about is spiritual warfare. Not only what happens when you stand up and you speak out and it actually gets a little bit hard for you, but what happens when God's people get serious in prayer. And I'm going to be honest, if you forget everything that you hear from me today, like if none of this goes, if it all goes in one ear and out the other, I want you to remember something about prayer. We just sang songs about that. You just heard from the prophet Daniel when it comes to prayer. When God's people pray, would you please write this down? When God's people pray, eternity is impacted. Now, I just want to be honest. I'm not talking about those polite, nice little prayers where you ask God for some stuff, tack an amen on the end, and you go on. No, what I'm talking about is this real, gut-level, honest prayer from God. The way that the great English professor from Oxford University, former atheist, became one of the greatest voices for Christianity in his generation. C.S. Lewis said it this way: when we pray, the kind of prayer that we're talking about today is not a prayer about what should be inside of us. It's praying about what really is inside of us. Not praying what we ought to believe or what we ought to mean, but what we really do mean, which means being gut-level honest with God in prayer. And today, that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to use battle language because the Bible is using battle language when God's church comes together in Acts chapter 4 and starts to pray. Did you know that right now, in a room just off the side of this building right now, there are several men and women who are right now laboring before the Lord? I call them our spiritual warriors who are laboring before God in prayer and begging God for what's happening on this stage, begging God for what's happening in your souls, and begging God for what He will do in our community. So just to help get this stage set today, I'm going to ask you to do something that we do some semi-regularly around here. I'm going to ask you to go to the Lord in prayer with me. If you're physically able to, would you get up and turn around and to kneel in your seat right where you're at? I'm going to kneel here on the stage. And for those of you who are not physically able to kneel, would you just kneel in your heart and get real serious with God for just a second in prayer? Let's pray together for just a moment. God, from the book of Daniel to the songs that we've sung to the book of Acts that we'll look at today, you are calling your people to war today. And you're calling your people to the kind of war that bombs and bullets can't do. The kind of war that maybe we don't even see around us. It's a spiritual battle that's happening in spiritual realms on spiritual sidelines. And God, you're asking your church, Calvary Baptist Church, to get in the fight and to get into this spiritual battle. So, Father, I pray for every person in this room who claims the name of Jesus. Would you help us to become the intercessors, the men and women who stand in the gap, and we beg you for our families. We beg you for our neighborhoods. We beg you for our workplaces. And we are fighting a spiritual battle, and we sometimes get bloody on our knees. But it's in our knees that we do our greatest work. It's on our knees that the greatest spiritual warfare happens. So God, right now, we're on our knees and we're asking you, speak to us, speak through us to this community that we live in. God, use your church as great spiritual warriors today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can grab a seat. We're going to talk a little bit about warfare. We're going to use Acts chapter 4. That's the kind of language that you're going to get from the Bible today. And if you've got a paper Bible, you can flip open to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 23 in just a moment. Or if you're following along in that Calvary Ministries app, you can just click the Today's Sermon button. You're going to see the sermon notes, and you're going to see the scripture references for you up there. But before I do this, I just kind of want to ask you, quick show of hands, look up here for just a second. How many of you showed up to church today ready for a fight? Go ahead, raise your hands up high. Okay, because here's what I'm talking about. It's right at the top of your worship guide. It's right at the top of that mobile app, Today's Sermon. Today's sermon is learning how to pick a spiritual fight. If we're going to do spiritual warfare, we got to know how to get in the fight. And that's the language that we're going to read from the Bible today. Today, by the time we're done, I hope you walk out the doors ready for a fight. And the first thing that you're going to need to know from the book of Acts today is if you're really going to be ready for a fight, prayer is the primary weapon. This is the number one weapon by far. Now, if you're a warrior in this room, primary weapon system means something very specific to you, because when you go on the battlefield, you're probably good enough that you can pick up just about any weapon that's around you. But you know, with my weapon, I can hit whatever I'm aiming at. I'm the first guy on the trigger or the first person that's going to pull the trigger. I'm going to survive if I've got my primary weapon with me. And prayer is that primary weapon that the church wields in the book of Acts. Listen to how this is described. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant, this is the battle language today. Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things?" Now, the they that the Bible is talking about for just a second, Peter and John. If you haven't been around here for the last couple of weeks, let me explain to you what's going on in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John did a miracle of a man who was born crippled. And because of this miracle, God gave them the opportunity to start to talk about Jesus in the temple. And all of the religious leaders last week started to come to Peter and John and started to criticize them. And then they started to threaten them. "If you don't stop talking about Jesus, we will hurt you." This is the language of the Bible. So as soon as they leave that gathering today, they go immediately back to the church. And here's what I want you to understand. This isn't now just a problem between Peter and John and some of the religious leaders. It isn't a problem between Peter and John and the Sanhedrin, these 71 really powerful religious leaders. This is now whole church has a problem with the religious leadership of the land. You can't miss this today, because the Bible is using language like against the church. And the church is unified today. And I don't want you to skip over this. Like, this is really, really intimidating, because now the whole church realizes, uh-oh, we're in a deep trouble right now. And I'll tell you one of the things that I think is beautiful about this passage. It's actually found in verse 24. Because I want you to notice the name that the Bible uses today to refer to God. Your translation may say sovereign God. The CSB that we're looking at today calls him master. Don't let this skip your attention. Because you know what the church is doing right now? They're saying, yes, we have a king in the land, and certainly the Roman government has their authority in the land. We have high priests, and we have religious leaders and elders. We have all of that stuff. But God, you are our master. You are the one who has the power to speak a word, and then the sea and the earth and the stars and everything around us comes into existence. And God, we're trusting in you. Even when we are being opposed by all of the powerful people of the land, God, we're trusting in you. And the people of the church do this together in prayer. It is prayer that unites the church. Prayer is what I call the primary weapon system of the church. Don't ever sacrifice this one, because there's nothing else that takes its place. This is where the church really starts to engage in warfare, and they do spiritual battles through prayer. You can't do it with bullets. You can't do it with bombs, but you can do it with prayer. Philip Yancey wrote a book entitled Prayer. Great book. You ought to check it out sometime. And here's a statement that he made in that book. He said, for most of us, prayer serves as a way to get stuff from God. But that's not how it was with Jesus. This is what Philip Yancey says. For Jesus, prayer was battle itself. And sometimes God has to work on our heart when we pray before he starts to use us to work on the hearts of other people. That's what's happening in the church. First thing out of the gate, prayer is that primary weapon. Don't ignore, don't take this one lightly. But second thing from Acts chapter 4 today, is that God's will is this bulletproof rock, this rock of ages that you and I can hide ourselves in and go to God and know that he is protecting us. He is on our side, because that's what the church prays next, starting in verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. They're the whole church united together in prayer. They say this next. The kings of the earth take their stands, and rulers assemble, look at this language, against, think about the insanity of this phrase, against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in the city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will has predestined. God's sovereign will has already settled ahead of time the way that this thing is going to come to pass. Your hand and your will has predestined to take place. They're asking God to help. And if you were to take those last two names from the earlier verses we read, you've got the high priest, you've got the elders, the religious leaders of the land, and now they list Pontius Pilate, this Roman governor who represents Caesar in Rome. They've got the king of Israel that they're lumping into here, and all of the Gentiles, and all of the rest of the people. This is basically everybody is standing against us, God. And as long as you're on our side, we're not freaking out, because we trust your will. We trust your plan is going to come to pass. These folks are standing against you. They've drawn battle lines, and they're on the opposite side. How foolish to stand against the God who created everything and against his Messiah. Got a picture up there on the screens of body armor. If you're a law enforcement officer in this room, if you're in the military, you know exactly how important this thing is. This is the thing that stops bullets in a battle. And it would be insane to go on the battlefield without this piece of equipment. And the early church is saying, God, we're standing behind this bulletproof shield of your will, knowing that we're doing what you're calling us to do. And everybody in the world is shooting at us right now, God, but we are trusting in you and in your sovereign will. We're trusting that your plan will come to pass. When you pray, you can take this one to the bank. God's will always happens. No one, nothing. If the whole world were to assemble on battlefields against God's will, his will still come to pass. And when God's people pray, we need to pray for the will of God to come to pass. Listen to me. Through us. God, use us to make your will come to pass, because that's what the church is saying. Remain strong, y'all, when it feels like everybody is standing against you, knowing that God has predetermined his will to come to pass, and he can use you as part of that plan. Third thing, if you're really going to be a spiritual warrior, if you're really going to be willing, you better be able to do battle for Jesus' glory. Now, last week, I didn't give you any real areas where I thought you should be willing to stand up and do civil disobedience. Stand up for these things. But today I'm going to. This one on the screen is the one that is worth sacrificing everything, risking it all for. When something starts to undermine Jesus' glory, you and I should be the first people to stand up in the room and say, hey, y'all, that's just not going to fly with me. That's not acceptable. God will not allow his son Jesus to become second place to anyone or to anything, and we should be the ones championing the glory of Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says next in verse 29 and 30. They're praying and they say this, and now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word. Please read these next two words out loud. Speak your word. What do they say next? With all boldness. That's actually three words, right? But with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your, look at it up here on the screens, your holy servant Jesus. Do you know what the church just asked for? We're in a fight right now, God, and it's really bad, and it feels like everybody in the land is standing against us. And instead of treating God in prayer like a genie, I rub the lamp and he, poof, gives me three magic wishes. No, God, here's what we're asking for from you. Actually, I should do it this way. Notice what the church didn't ask for in this prayer. They didn't say, God, make our enemies all fall over dead. God, change the laws of the land so it's no longer illegal for us to be able to stand up and to speak the name of Jesus. They didn't even ask for God to make it easy on them. They just simply said, God, make us bold. And in fact, if it was a miracle that led to people hearing the message of Jesus and a lot of problems as a result of that, give us more miracles so that we can spread the message wider and let the problems come, if that's what it takes. The church is asking God for the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus. If you don't know what those phrases mean, let me explain it real quickly to you. What the church is saying is, we believe Jesus is greater than all. This is the supremacy of Jesus. Jesus is greater than all of the powers of the earth put together. We're trusting in him and not in the people that are standing against us. But they're also calling for the sufficiency of Jesus. We also believe not only is Jesus great, but we also believe that he's good. And that by surrendering to Jesus, the greatest good that will ever happen to somebody is when they find Jesus, or actually when Jesus finds them and cleans them up and makes them whole, sets them free. So God, we want everybody to hear about Jesus. And if it means, this is crazy, but we need to hear this today. The church is praying, if it means that we have to suffer for the glory of Jesus, then God, let us suffer for the glory of Jesus. Because we want everybody to know that he's great, greater than everything, greater than all the powers of the earth. And we want everybody to know just how good he is. When you come to Jesus, it changes everything. If you recognize the name, the Arabic phrase, Mujahideen, this is the phrase that refers to freedom fighters, those men and women who fight to kick out an oppressing army in Arabic lands. And I've always thought to myself, Mujahideen are really not the freedom fighters. It's actually God's people. We're the real Mujahideen. We're the real freedom fighters. You see, you can't win eternal battles with bullets and bombs. No, that stuff happens at the soul level. And somebody has to wrestle at the soul level for the people around you. This is where God's people are doing real spiritual warfare. It's in our prayer closet, our private prayer time, that you and I become the real freedom fighters, the real prayer warriors. And oftentimes, I'll say it again, we need God to change our heart before he can really start to change the hearts of people around us. And it is when we get gut level real with him, gut level honest with God in prayer, that he starts to change our hearts. Quick story, I didn't have time to tell this at the early service, but not long ago, I was talking to a guy who is kind of making decisions about moving missionaries in and out of the country of Pakistan. I hope that this doesn't get broadcast, but it probably will. And he said, you know, we're having to make some really serious decisions about whether or not we want to leave Christian missionaries in Pakistan because we know they're being persecuted. And if they stay there, chances are some of them will die. And here's what I said to this guy in a private meeting. I said, you better thank God that I am not the leader of your mission organization. Because you know what I would be doing right now? I would be asking the church to send 1,000 Christian martyrs into Pakistan and let 1,000 men and women die in the public streets for the glory of Jesus. And I guarantee you, a generation from now, you won't be having this struggle, because that nation will see their faith if they're willing to believe it to their death. That nation will change in a generation. If we would send 1,000 martyrs in instead of rushing Christians out when it got hard. The church starts to pray, and they're saying, God, it's getting really hard right now, and we're suffering, and we know you know that we're suffering. Here's huge spiritual maturity. God, we're not asking you to make the suffering go away. All we're asking is, would you make Jesus glorified because of what we're doing? Would you make much of Jesus because of the way that we're suffering? That's a prayer that God will answer. And you want to know how immediately God answers this prayer? Fourth and final thing, you are the Holy Spirit's weapon of choice. You are God's plan A. There is no plan B to reach the world. It is through God's people reaching others, building them up in the faith and sending them out. Through God's people making disciples that he will accomplish his mission. Look, he could write it on the stars at night. He could spell it out with the clouds during the day. He doesn't, because it's me and you that is his plan to reach the world. And when God's people pray, I want you to notice what happened in that church that day. Verse 31. When they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God. Look at it one more time on the screen. Boldly. The church immediately got an answer to prayer. God, we need you. God, we're suffering. God, we're in trouble. And we're not asking you to make the suffering go away. God, would you just use us for Jesus's glory? And immediately God answers this prayer, and he answers it by, look at this, filling the room so that the presence of the Holy Spirit is thick on everybody. And it's so powerful that the foundations of the building itself shake. Now, I hope you guys know this. I'm sure that you are aware of this. The church is not a building. We're not talking about a building somewhere in Jerusalem. We're not talking about the bricks and mortars that make this building right now. The Bible is talking about is his people. Got gut level honest with God in prayer. And he started to shake the foundations and fill them up. And the Holy Spirit moved in great power in his church all over again, just like the Holy Spirit did in Pentecost. And the people left that room speaking boldly for the glory of Jesus. Others couldn't mistake it. These people are powerful witnesses for Jesus. And I believe it's because they were powerful in prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote this book not many years ago called The Weapon of Prayer, Spiritual Warfare. And here's what he said. Powerful preachers, powerful men, and powerful women only can press the gospel forward with aggressive power. The power comes in prayer. And then because of powerful prayer, you find powerful preachers. and powerful women and powerful men that are moving the ball down the field, pressing the gospel forward. Here's what I'm saying. The epic struggle of eternity is not going to happen today on a football field in Atlanta, Georgia. Who cares who wins that ball game? No one's going to remember 10,000 years from now. But what you, God's people, do today, on your knees in prayer, impacts eternity. It shakes the foundations of those spiritual forces. It is genuine spiritual warfare. So I just want to remind you, there is something that you right now in this room have in common with Abraham, with Moses, with Paul, with Jesus, with the first century church. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed when you get serious and start doing spiritual warfare and prayer. Want to know what I'm talking about? Go back and read when Abraham boldly starts to negotiate with God about the lives of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, God, what if there's 50 righteous people? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? Would you spare the city if there's 10 righteous people? And Abraham is doing spiritual warfare. Moses is on the mountain, and Moses starts to negotiate with God and says, God, I will give my soul, my eternity, in exchange for the people of this land. God, don't annihilate them. Don't wipe them out. And Moses is doing spiritual battle. Paul says, I would be accursed if my brothers and sisters in Israel would come to faith in Christ. I would give up my salvation if it would lead to my brothers and sisters following Christ. Jesus is on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane doing such spiritual battle that he is bleeding drops of blood from his eyes. And the first century church is united together, and they are doing battle as one solid spiritual force in prayer. Listen to me, y'all. You don't need money for this. You don't need education for this. You don't need a position or a paycheck or a title or a business card. All of God's people can and should be doing this if we will just get serious with the Lord in prayer. So I just really want to ask you again, how many of you are ready for a fight this week? Because that's what the scriptures are calling God's people to. This is also why you need to do life with other people. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's insane to go on the battlefield by yourself. You need other Christian brothers and sisters that are wrapping an arm around you and saying, I got your back no matter how bad this gets. I'm here for you. If you will let me in and let me go deep with you, if you will come into my heart or into my home and go deep with me, we need to do life with other people, especially when you're starting to do spiritual warfare. So today, like every day on Sunday around here, we're going to ask you, don't just hear the Bible. Let it go in one ear and out the other. Would you please do something with what you heard? We call that taking some next steps around here. And here's some possible next steps for you today. Maybe there's something different that the Lord is speaking to you about right now. Maybe today you walked into this door and you know in your heart, God knows this, you know this, that you're really not on the same team. You're really not on you're not in the battle because you've never really just surrendered your soul to Jesus. And maybe what you need to do in just a moment is to turn over your soul, turn over your, surrender your soul to Jesus. Maybe what you need to do is wave the white flag and surrender and finally become free for the first time. I'm going to pray for you if that's you in just a moment. For others of you on this in this room, maybe the second thing on that screen or it's on the mobile app in front of you, this paper worship guide. Maybe you'd have to be honest and say, you know what, Jeff, I've been pretty weak in prayer lately. Like, I've been all about me and not really even doing real spiritual warfare. And that second thing on the screen is really you. You need to become spiritually bold. Our community needs to see bold men and women. And maybe what you would just say is, hey, I need the pastors of this church, the elders of this church. I need other brothers and sisters who are coming alongside of me and praying for me to be bold this week. Maybe you're the last person on the screens. I hope you are who says, Jeff, I'm ready. I've been prayed up, and I am ready to do spiritual warfare this week. I'm ready to pick a spiritual fight for Jesus and for his glory. And I'm talking about in the private prayer closet, not on the city streets with my fist. I'm talking about in the private prayer room. I'm ready to go to war. If you haven't read it yet, would you go back and check out the blog on our church website this week? Because in that blog, it describes winning hearts and minds. And here's what it says. You can't win hearts and minds with bullets. You can't do this with bombs. You have to grab somebody by the heart. You have to get access to their mind, and you do it when your heart when God grabs your heart first and then starts to use you to grab the hearts of other people. That's real spiritual warfare. So I just want to ask you to bow right now. I'm going to say a prayer for us. If the Lord is speaking to you, if it's time for you to respond to what you've heard today, you let us know whatever it is that the Lord is speaking to you about. But would you just bow your heads right now and let me wrap this sermon up with a prayer? Father, I pray for myself first. Pray for every man and every woman who came in this door today. I pray for some who have just been weak in prayer. And today, they need to become bold in their private prayer life. They need to become spiritual warriors who are standing in the gap and interceding for others, who care deeply about the spiritual condition of our city. And it's because you've already got control of their heart that now you're starting to use them to capture the hearts of others. Father, I pray that you would make us men and women who are ready to do spiritual battle. You're enlisting us into your army today. Make us ready, prepared for the spiritual warfare that will happen around us this week. But I don't know, maybe somebody came into these doors and today they've never really nailed this one down. They've never surrendered to Jesus. Maybe right now what you're calling them to do, right where they're sitting, just between them and you, God, they need to turn from their sins and to trust Jesus as their Savior for the first time. And if that's the case, would you cause somebody in this room to just cry out silently in their heart to Jesus, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven, but I believe you love me. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. In fact, if it was me and only me, nobody else on planet Earth that ever became a Christian, Jesus would still have to go to the cross and bleed and die for my sins. And so right here, right now, God, I'm just turning from my sin and I am turning to you. I'm laying it all before you, surrendering it all to you for the first time. God, if that prayer is real, if it's sincere, would you give us the privilege of getting to know who these folks are, following up with them and explaining to them what happens next and helping them start the journey of discipleship. Father, I pray that you would be glorified by the way that your people respond, not to me, not to Calvary Baptist Church, but to you right now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.